If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com. This is a JT exclusive interview.
What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for listening or watching a brand new episode of On Air with JT. And of course, as you know, my name is Justin Thomas, but you can call me JT. And again, thank you so much for all of your support. I really, really do appreciate it. You can listen to this show exclusively on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Just head over to onairwithjt.com and all of my links and platforms are there. You can also watch the full episodes and clips, behind the scenes, exclusive content at my YouTube channel. Just type in On Air with JT. Just head over to onairwithjt.com and everything is right there. And of course, if you are a business owner, a brand, a company, and you're interested in advertising on this podcast, my social media platforms, and my new podcasts that are launching this year, then send me an email. Of course, serious inquiries only. You can email me at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Enjoy the show. Yes, sir.
You are listening to On Air with JT. If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com. Caution, you are listening to On Air with JT, a fully uncensored, raw, and unfiltered show. JT doesn't give a fuck. You are listening to On Air with JT, pop culture, news, rants, interviews, serious discussions that the mainstream media won't talk about, and so much more. This is On Air with JT. You are listening to On Air with JT.
How's it going, everybody? You are listening to On Air with JT, and I have a very, very special interview with former frontman Stephen Page of Bare Naked Ladies. How are you doing today, Stephen?
I'm doing just great. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Again, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. You know, you're an absolute legend in my eyes.
Thank you.
Of course. I do have some questions, though. Just from listening to your music from, you know, BNL days to your solo music, what were some of your early music influences growing up that really kind of got you into music or made you, like, be like, okay, this is what I want to do?
Well, you know, I grew up with a lot of music. My parents were involved in a folk festival in Canada called the Mariposa Folk Festival, which is one of the kind of the classic folk festivals of the 60s era, still around to this day.
Okay.
And so as a little kid, you know, I'd be going to see that and hearing everything from, you know, blues to gospel to bluegrass to traditional folk and indigenous music and all kinds of stuff like that. But then I think for me, the thing that really changed everything, just, you know, there's always music playing in the house. But I think when I got a pair of headphones and I could listen to records with my headphones on, mm-hmm. and I became obsessed with the Beatles, as so many people get that way, and I'm still obsessed with them, but
definitely.
I can point to a day when I was listening to Paperback Writer, okay. on my headphones, and the headphone came partially unplugged, and when it did, what happened was the audio switched out of phase, and all, you know, it was like the music became distant. I could hear all the reverb, but all of a sudden I could hear the individual instruments, like it was like just the bass guitar and some backup vocals, and all of a sudden what just sounded like a big mass of music, impenetrable and kind of a, you know, like magical. All of a sudden, it kind of broke the magic down. It was like seeing the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain.
Yeah.
But in a really good way, I could hear the individual instruments.
Okay.
And once I realized, oh, there are individual people playing those individual instruments, it was it opened up my eyes and made me think, this is what I want to do. I want to make recordings of all these, you know, I just want to make music. And that was, I think, the thing that switched it for me.
Wow. So over the years, you know, when you were growing up, you started to learn like instruments and things like that. What was the first instrument that you learned to play?
I took piano lessons from the age of like 5 onward, and I was never good at it. Like I could never coordinate my left and right hands. I was very slow on that. Like, I don't think I could do that until I was in my 40s.
Oh,
it was just a thing where it was just difficult for me. I could kind of like, and my dad said to the teacher, look, my kids are going to take piano lessons. They might not practice. I'm not going to make them practice. I'm just making them take lessons. It's up to them whether they're going to practice or not. So there was never any pressure on me to practice. Although, as a teenager then, my dad played drums. We had a drum set in the basement and the piano. And my dad and I rigged up this thing where we took like a coat hanger and put it around my neck and used it to hold a microphone around my neck and plugged that into a little amp. And he would make me sit at the piano and read sheet music. So we'd play like whatever, Lionel Richie or old standards or Beatles songs or whatever. And he'd sit behind the drum kit. And I'd kind of like plod my way through these songs. And I kind of would do it like to appease my dad, I think. But, often I do. And I have good memories of doing this. But the thing I realized years later was that it really did prepare me for playing with other musicians. Because I didn't play in cover bands or anything like that in high school, like so many people did. I mostly played instruments just to accompany songs I was writing. You know, I didn't really learn other people's stuff that much. But those times when I was playing music with my dad and I'd be searching for the next chord and he'd just be holding down the time waiting for me, taught me a lot about how to listen to other musicians.
Wow, that's incredible. So it sounds like definitely your father definitely had a big impact on, you know, your music and you know, pursuing a career in music. Did you kind of... Were you kind of self-aware of that like early on, or did it take like later on in life for you to really kind of reflect and be like, wow, like he really, you know, if it wasn't for him, you know, I probably wouldn't be a musician.
I think it was definitely later in life that I started to kind of acknowledge like how important that was. Cause I think for me as a young adult, so much of what I was doing was to try to differentiate myself from my parents. And even though my parents were so involved, my dad helped to distribute our original demo tape, which is called the yellow tape, which was the cassette that we released before Gordon came out in the early 90s. You know, we couldn't afford to manufacture and distribute that ourselves. We didn't have the money to do that. So my dad took that on. So I was always kind of linked to him professionally in those early days. And I think for me as a young person, I really wanted to differentiate myself and be my own person and not really be that connected. But, you know, as time went on, I certainly learned to acknowledge and appreciate how much my parents gave me.
Yeah, most definitely. And what age were you when you initially got that the record label deal for B&L?
I guess we signed when I was 21 and the record came out when I had just turned 22.
Okay. Wow. Now, were you kind of like mentally prepared for like all of that? Like, cause I know it kind of happened a little, you know, fast, you know, just because just with everything that comes with, you know, signing, you know, becoming a very successful, famous band, you know, the fame and all that, you know, were you kind of mentally prepared for that, or were you not? Was it kind of like, you know, a surprise in a lot of areas and aspects of what comes with, you know, that side of the music industry?
I don't know how you can be prepared.
Yeah.
Entirely. Like, I think, you know, I think we certainly were, I was certainly aiming for it. It was something we wanted, but whether I was actually prepared for it, I don't think so. I think it was too difficult to really prepare. It's such a foreign, strange thing to be that kind of, you know, in that kind of situation. Like it happens to so few people.
Yeah.
That there's nobody who can really give you advice on how to conduct yourself or how to accept or handle the shift in your private life, the shift in your demands on your schedule. You know, really, the only job I've ever really had is to be a musician full time.
That's a pretty great thing to say. Yeah, I mean, you know,
I had no other experience, you know, in the workplace.
Yeah.
To apart from, you know, summer jobs and stuff, to really be able to understand how to conduct things myself.
Yeah, definitely. When everything was starting to like blow up, or maybe like a little prior, was there like a real defining moment to yourself where you were like, oh man, like this is happening, like this is really like my dreams and everything is really becoming a reality, like this is really happening?
You know, I guess I felt that a bunch of different times over the course of my career. I mean, I guess it was the first time that we played a club in Toronto and there was a lineup outside to get in, and it wasn't like our high school friends. I think it was a moment where we thought, oh, this is real now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to prepare for that.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Was there someone, and you don't have to mention their name if you don't want to, but like when everything was starting to blow up, was there someone in the music industry, maybe a fellow musician or maybe an executive or someone that gave you like some really good advice that still like resonates to you till this day?
We had lots of people who kind of would give us good advice, but you know, advice with everything from like how to structure a set list to, you know, things like someone saying, you know, as things got really big, really remember to lean on each other, you know, be there for each other. You need each other now more than ever. To, you know, I had one famous musician say to me, think of this as your house, buy a house with this. But this, you know, it's not going to be like this forever. So take advantage of this, of this moment, and you're making some money, whatever, buy yourself a house and some security that way. And then just do your job after that, and don't expect that it's going to be like this every day. And you know, when it's not like that every day, it's hard to accept. Even though you might be somewhere inside of you, you might be prepared for it to not be the same. You know, to not be the same level of success.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear that. You want to hear that it's. That it's always going to be like that, because why wouldn't it?
Exactly. I mean, a lot of musicians, actors, you know, et cetera, you know, deal with that. But I mean, as long as you know deep down, you know, that you're great and, you know, everything that you've accomplished, and I guess that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
It is what matters, but it doesn't make it easy.
Definitely.
When you feel like, you know, you should be doing better, you know, as far as visibility or success or people's, you know, I think it's pretty easy to get addicted to the affirmation you get from the outside world.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, Stephen. I got to tell you, you know, out of all the great songs, you know, just B&L related, I have to tell you, Brian Wilson is my favorite song. It's probably like top 20 of my all-time favorite songs. I probably listen to it like once or twice a day, and I love the live version, the studio live, the live version. I love it. Like I literally listen to it every single day. It just gives me the chills every time I listen to it. It's a great song. And you wrote that yourself, right?
I did.
Yeah. Wow.
And I still play it every show.
Wow, that's great. I just personally feel like and obviously you know this, but I mean, you're just such a talented songwriter, and I feel like you don't get the flowers you deserve from society. This is just from my personal, you know, opinion, because you're just such a talented songwriter. I mean, from writing verses to, you know, choruses and bridges, like, that's not an easy thing to do. And you know, you've put out so many great songs, not only just with, you know, BNL, but just with your solo music. I mean, that's not an easy task to do. And I just want to personally, you know, give you your flowers and say that, you know, you are one of the best songwriters of my generation, I believe.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. So you've been working on some, you've been doing like the solo thing recently. In 2022, you put out your album Excelsior. Mm-hmm. So I checked that out actually a couple weeks ago, before I reached out, and I gotta say, I love Zoom and I love the song Fail. Great songs. Uh-huh. Great
Thank
songs.
You.
Yeah, definitely. Funny thing, I do want to tell you this, and you might recognize them. So I'm actually very good friends with Sam Mello and Willie,
oh, yeah.
Willie DiNardo, you know,
because
I'm from Boston. Willie's my cousin, ironically. And, you know, I just wanted to give them a shout out. They, you know, they were telling me, you know, how to perform a song, and you guys did at the PBD Essex Museum in Salem in November.
Oh, yeah.
You performed A New Shore.
Yeah, it was cool. Nice. Well, say hi to those guys for me.
Yeah, they're definitely big fans, and we're all big fans. I do have to ask you though. So currently, are you doing shows? Are you on tour right now? Or
yeah, I just finished some shows. I start up again in the first week of March. But yeah, I've been touring a lot. I did about probably about 75 live shows last year, and
wow.
Yeah, lined up to do tons again this year.
I hope you come to Boston, or at least, you know, somewhere in the Northeast.
I'm in Boston on May 3rd.
Oh, I'll definitely be there.
Great.
Stephen, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. You know, I didn't want to take up too much of your time, but
pleasure talking to you.
Pleasure, and I wish you the most success and happiness in 2023, and keep killing it, Stephen.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Great to talk to you. Thank
Likewise.
You.
Thank you, Stephen.
Bye-bye.
What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for listening or watching a brand new episode of On Air with JT. And of course, as you know, my name is Justin Thomas, but you can call me JT. And again, thank you so much for all of your support. I really, really do appreciate it. You can listen to this show exclusively on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Just head over to onairwithjt.com and all of my links and platforms are there. You can also watch the full episodes and clips, behind the scenes, exclusive content at my YouTube channel. Just type in On Air with JT. Just head over to onairwithjt.com and everything is right there. And of course, if you are a business owner, a brand, a company, and you're interested in advertising on this podcast, my social media platforms, and my new podcasts that are launching this year, then send me an email. Of course, serious inquiries only. You can email me at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Enjoy the show. Yes, sir.
You are listening to On Air with JT. If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com. Caution, you are listening to On Air with JT, a fully uncensored, raw, and unfiltered show. JT doesn't give a fuck. You are listening to On Air with JT. Pop culture, news, rants, interviews, serious discussions that the mainstream media won't talk about, and so much more. This is On Air with JT. You are listening to On Air with JT. If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com.